Martha Novak, and this is a show called Real Talk with Martha Novak. I find this a very interesting show to talk about today. I'm glad you're with me. We're going to talk about why believe in God, why believe in anything, why believe, what it's supposed to do and not do. And I love an article I found. The article is called The Top 10 Reasons I Don't Believe in God. It's by Greta Christina, who wrote a book called Why Are Atheists So Angry? 99 Things That Piss Off the Godless by Greta Christina. Now, I don't know Greta Christina. I agree with her about a lot of things. And I disagree with her about a lot of things as well. So we're going to have a lot of fun talking about this. I'm really glad you're with us today. I think these things bear talking about because we don't have another forum in which to talk about stuff like this. I mean, it's not exactly the fodder of cocktail parties, is it? And Christmas parties and Hanukkah parties and all that. Let's do a prayer, get us all on the same page. And then I want to talk about a few general things, and then we'll launch into this article and what I have to say beyond it. I always have to say something beyond almost anything that I bring to the table here, and you know that's true. I have to put my 2 cents worth in. I want us to talk about these things relative to consciousness. That's what this show is about. And nobody quite knows what that is, you know? Okay. So let's do a prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for bringing us all here together. We open ourselves to see, hear, sense, and know what you would have us do as we open to the truth that lies in your enlightenment, which is also our enlightenment, and it is past things that appear obvious. We thank you for this journey we're all on, the opening of consciousness, the opening of self, the opening of enlightenment. We ask now to bring up our awareness that we may say, Dear God, we know nothing. It is the you through us and all things that know it all. And we open now to that information. We thank you so much. We now say this prayer in your name, in the name of the Ascended Masters, our loved centered guides and friends, and in the name of each and every person listening to the show. And so it is. Amen. The top 10 reasons I don't believe in God. I was immediately struck by that. Hi, everybody tuning in. I'm so glad that you're here today. First of all, I want to put on the table that while any of this, what she says, what I say, might sound like a disparagement of religion, I'm going to say that is absolutely not true, at least from my perspective. I think anything that helps the individual at any point in their lives, anything that does not hurt other people, is fine to believe. When we're in the realm of beliefs, there are a lot of reasons we believe what we do. We're going to talk about all that. But I think that the belief that sticks is the one that is applicable and true in our belief system, not in everybody else's, in ours, that sustains us throughout our lives and is applicable to every situation. For example, I had a dear friend and a client who told me how religious her dad was. He was dying, not healthy. She was trying to deal with those feelings. They were reared, I believe, Catholic, if I'm not mistaken. I may have that wrong, but story doesn't change. He was very, very religious. He went to church twice a day. He was there every time the doors opened. He prayed. He talked about God. But he was always anxious, always afraid, always worried about losing his job, always worried about having enough money, protecting his family, and so on and so on and so on. And I pointed out to her, and she seemed very shocked by it at the time, that wasn't necessarily a religion or a practice spiritually for him that was applicable across the board. Now, guys, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have human feelings. We should. But her father lived in these states of chronicity for everything and more that I've talked about. So it wasn't as if he absolutely knew everything was going to be all right at some points in his life. He always thought it was never going to be all right, you see. I'm not disparaging that for him either. He has since long passed off this earth. But here's what I'm saying. I think we're, the reason you're listening to a show like this is we're all on a quest to have deeper consciousness and more enlightenment and to absolutely know what we believe. I can only say when I had an awakening years ago, it was profound. Two things stuck with me that I cannot not believe now. You know, I have to believe these things. I know them to be true for me, only for me. See, you've got to find this out for yourself. The thing that this article misses is that you have to go farther and farther and farther to see things and that these things are inside. I was left with the knowledge of two things, that everything in my life had been perfect, not ideal. I lived a life that you have. I've had many things happen to me in my life that were not nice things. In fact, there were horrible, tragic things. But that it was all perfect. I realized what perfect really meant for me in this awakening, and that was there was not one moment that I had wasted, even if I had done things that I couldn't live with, I thought I couldn't, even if I had been hateful and sad and petty or anything else. It was all perfect. It was all perfect. It was all perfect because it led me to that moment. The second thing I realized, unshakably, was that God is always there because God is the aspect of God. I am and you are and everybody is. There's an ascended nature in all of us, the spark, you know, that you hear about. But in my opinion, it's not a spark. Which implies a little teeny tiny thing. It is all you are. And our ego child's mind, the parts of us that think like a child and cannot entertain these bigger thoughts, certainly not the biggest thoughts, are in the way. Our privilege is to work through them and see something different and open deeper and deeper levels of ourselves. Okay. All right. To put on the table what I believe, and you've got to find this out for yourself. You see, the interesting thing about God is God's duality. We've talked about that. If you've been with me for any length of time, you know I talk about that. God is all. The light and the dark, the good and the bad, the petty and the generous, the loving nature of you and the fearful one. God is everything. But God has various degrees to it. This is what's so confusing, isn't it? Yes, God is that ego child's mind. God is the ego. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just a lower vibrational energy than the God of absolute pure love, which is the higher vibrational energy. And our quest, should we choose to accept it, is to go from the fear-based self to the love-based self. At least to be on the journey to see what's there. I can say it's there, but my God, darlings, is not yours. This beautiful thing we call nature, that God is something to be enjoyed, but it is not you. The church's God is something to be enjoyed, if that's what you enjoy, but it's not you. That's not your God. Your God is the one, the ascended nature of you, the one you are. And if we're looking out there for God or for proof of God or anything else, it's not out there. It's in here. You see? God is, in my opinion, you know, all these things that you hear on this show are my opinion. I'm hoping to make you think. I'm hoping to make you question. I'm hoping to have you go, wow, that's an interesting thought. I haven't thought of that. Let it cogitate back there somewhere so that you see what it means to you, if it means anything at all. God is energy. God isn't a person. God, in my definition, is an infinite and ever-expanding set of truths, always in motion. There's always more to know about you and God. Same energy, by the way. And if you believe in energy, you believe in God, whether you want to admit it or not. I can tell you a quick and dear story about this. I've lost touch with this friend now, and I'm very sorry about that. She might be listening to this, and if so, hi, darling, and do get in touch. My friend was at a big transition point in her life. She had been raised Jewish, and but yet she had rejected her religion and rejected God. This is an interesting point because the top 10 reasons I don't believe in God by Greta Christina is a very confusing article in one way, because she has taken religion and God and mixed them. They're not at all the same thing, my darlings. And I'm going to ask you to keep that in mind when we're talking. I'm going to constantly pointing out, do you see that she's mixing up God and religion? By the way, people do mix these things up. We're going to talk about the difference. They are not at all the same thing. But my friend that I'm telling you about right now, who was at the transition time in her life, mixed them up as well. So at one point, we lived near each other, and she went often with me to my lectures and my seminars that I gave, and I do a lot of corporate work. She went with me to teach. And when I would ever... And I remember exactly one spot that I really got it. We were in the car together going somewhere. And I was driving. She was the passenger. And I remember the intersection we pulled to with the stop sign. And I said something about God, and she just really came down on me. God bless her. She said, "Don't you mention that word to me. I don't believe in God. I never will believe in God. Do not use that word." And I said, "No problem. Okay. So let's use the word energy instead." So, because you can't deny energy. We're all energy. All matter is energy. All non-matter is energy. Everything's energy. Something we can all agree on, right? She said, "Absolutely." And we went on from there. So, several years ago, when I was still living in Atlanta, I got a phone call, and it was from she. And she, and it was from her, and she said, I want to tell you something. And I said, what, love? What's going on? You know, she told me about her life. We caught up a little bit. She said, I want to tell you, I believe in God now. All right. Well, thanks for telling me. Okay. She said, God was the energy, but you were nice not to push it and tell me that and force me to talk about it. But God's the energy. I get it. I get it now. And I was delighted with that. I mean, darling, call it what you will. Call it the dog at your feet or the lamp in the corner or the flowers in the yard. It's all the same energy, you see? But the one that you can use, the energy you can use of God, is the one inside, not outside. You can't have those gods. You can't have mine. It's all part of the oneness with all life. But the God you can use, that energy to make your life better, is the one you are. My job is to wake you up to that in some way and then let it cogitate like it did for my friend. You understand? Okay. Now, there are many things that I agree with the little Greta Christina, and some things I do not. So I want to clarify an article like this. May we do that? Because I think it's really interesting. You may consider it so much splitting hairs, I don't know. But I think that it's important for you to be able to back up what you believe to you. Okay? One of the things, by the way, I want to tell you that one of the things I don't like about what I'm doing today is I find it enormously intellectually stimulating. But, darling, if we argue on one level, does God exist or God doesn't exist or he does or he doesn't? Okay, and notice the he, which I don't believe God is a he. I think God is an it, an energy. We can be there forever. You know, it's this. So I don't like it because this subject can be easily combated. Oh, well, she believes this and I believe that. I'm just putting ideas on the table. I know what I believe. I'm encouraging you to know what you believe one day. It doesn't have to be what I believe. But it's very important that you know yourself. And, of course, I think one of the gifts of deeper levels of consciousness and enlightenment is that we absolutely know what we believe. And that there are certain things that are unshakable and are applicable in all parts of our lives. You see, those two things that I mentioned to you that I learned from my experience, that God is always there and that everything is perfect. When I saw that and my life is the perfect whole in those moments of absolute transformation, no matter what happens, those things will be true for me. Whether it's deep illness or losing my friends or my animals, no matter what, darling, those things are true. It doesn't mean that life doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean that we don't go through the human emotions that we all do. It means that there is this honestly undefinable, sustaining quality of knowing. This is absolutely available to you in deeper consciousness. We all, when we go on this journey, wake up no matter what we are. But you got to go on the journey. And somebody who writes an article like this, with all due respect to dear Greta, she's stopping way too soon. Her arguments are not particularly valid, although I understand them, and sometimes I actually agree with them. So let's dive in, shall we? Okay. Number one, she says, these are her top 10 reasons that she does not believe that God exists. Number one, the consistent replacement of supernatural explanations of the world with natural ones. I agree. I am constantly amazed at the fantasists that we people are. We just are. We fantasize. I cannot pick up a newspaper these days or read a newspaper online, which I am inclined to do. Hello, Judy. Oh, I'm so glad that you're with us today. Bless your heart. Thank you. I cannot read a newspaper without something being ascribed to, or a phenomenon being ascribed to aliens. They are all ascribing it. Now, I don't know whether they're aliens or not. Call me when they come, you know, for heaven's sake. But I'm not going to get into all that. I don't care. Just call me when they come, when you see them, okay? Let me know. This world loves to fantasize. It's a sign from God, people say. Well, I got to tell you, you know, when you are in deep levels of consciousness, when you're doing things, at least from what I hear and from my own experience, you don't talk like that. That's a little girl or boy in the ego child's mind saying, I need a sign because I don't trust what I'm being told from the inside. I need a sign. Oh, guys, forget signs. They're there. Absolutely they are. But you can only trust them when you're in really deep consciousness and you don't have an agenda. You just want to communicate with this dear God that is all you are. You're willing to see the light in the dark of you. You're willing to do something about it. You're willing to grow and change, as difficult as it is, and how much that ego child's mind fights you. It does. So she says she doesn't like the consistent replacement of supernatural explanations of the world with natural ones. And I do agree with this. We're too busy to say, we're busy as a human species, an unaware human species, assigning these, oh, you know, God wanted me to do this, oh. And here's the irony of what I am saying right now. When you're in the ego mind's child's mind, it's all bullshit. There you go. Are you surprised that I use a word like that? Don't be. I happen to believe everything is God. Bullshit is a low energy vibration word to say. I wanted to get your attention so it helps. It's all bull, kids. When you're in the ego child's mind, you're just making a case for yourself. And then you go on a journey and you look at all the reasons that you gather evidence for what you believed as a child, or you gather evidence for what you want to believe now, which is diametrically opposed to what you believed as a child, because you dare not believe that anymore. You want something else. That energy is not grace. That energy is just raging against something that you used to believe and you don't want to believe anymore, but here's the irony. You do believe it still, or you wouldn't be having that energy behind it. Do you understand? Yeah. We're still doing this all the time. History is full of this, ascribing, you know, natural phenomena to spirituality. She goes on to say, all things were once explained by religion, and I agree with her, religion has been and still is from time to time overreaching. Religion, not God. Okay? Religion. Keep in mind, kids, religion is man-made. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Judy. Yes. Yes, you love signs. Well, darling, I love you to love signs. Here's the thing. It's the beginning of the journey. I see signs from time to time myself. I have seen miracles that you would not believe and nobody would believe. Okay? Do I talk about them all the time? No, I don't need to. They have given me, they're all part of a system that is me right now. I do this for a living. Do I want to argue with somebody about this? No, I want to support them believing whatever they need to believe. Okay? Do you understand? I say believe anything you want at any point in your journey, but it is a journey, and don't forget that, because if you lock in to what you believe, i.e. dogma, i.e. a lot of religions, you can't go on. You've already stopped your growth, and perhaps that's the point, because a lot of religion historically has been about controlling people. Now, I don't see that so much. I was raised a Presbyterian, and, you know, you can say, well, Presbyterians believe in predestination, all that kind of stuff. Well, I never heard that in church. I just heard the same old kind of religious dogma that you hear everywhere. Can I go to any church and enjoy it? I can. Can I go to any church and do I sit there and go, I don't believe that. No, I don't believe that. But good for them. Good for somebody buying that to make their lives better. I have no problem with that. My job is just to put out things that you may want to think about so that you can enhance your journey and go on it. And not, by the way, feel so alone, because when I was coming along, there weren't many, many people to talk to about all this. I kept feeling that I was always a very spiritual person. I always saw things, energy, for example, that other people didn't see. That's fine. I don't care. It was just part of me. And so at one point in time, or several points in time, I thought about, well, maybe I should be a minister. I should go and go to a seminary or something. But I knew that wasn't right for me. You know why? Because it was dogma. There isn't one that it wasn't a dogma. And I didn't know what I believed. And I had to find out. I remember being in college, and I took a religion course in college. And my religion course wanted you to write a paper on who is Jesus. I failed that, I think. Either that or I went and just copied other people's ideas down. I can't remember quite. I didn't do well. In fact, I might have even failed the course. I don't remember. I know I failed that paper. But it bothered me. I was reared to be Christian, even though I have some Jewish heritage. What did I believe? What did I believe about Jesus? What did I believe about God? What did I believe? Did I believe anything at all? And the old teachings, in some respects, just didn't make any sense to me. And I'd see some contradictions in the Bible. And I had to ask myself, very young, 20 years old, 19, 20, wait a minute, what is all this about? Who am I? And why can't I write this paper? Oh, it's so easy to say, oh, I'm just a failure, or I'm not smart, or I just never, we have all sorts of things. I, maybe the way I'm wired, because I think curiosity is probably one of my top five traits, I wanted to know more. And what I wanted to know was not in any kind of dogma. I didn't know what I believed, but I knew I had to look for it. Now, she goes on to say that so many natural phenomena were once explained by religion. And she goes on to say the explanations based on religion were replaced by ones based on physical cause and effect. Where science is learning more and more, right? Science is learning more and more. The number of times that a supernatural explanation of a phenomenon has been replaced by a natural explanation, she says, happens thousands upon thousands of times. Yes. What I find so interesting that I still see about life, and I certainly see about her mindset, is that why can't science and religion exist together? They can. God is everything. God is energy. God are these phenomena. The things that you call supernatural are just things that science hasn't put a name on or discovered yet. And maybe they will. And maybe they never will. I mean, after all, we use the word mysticism. That implies that things will always be a mystery. And I do believe that things will always be a mystery in certain respects. Dears, enlightenment is not the daily life that most people live. Enlightenment is the daily life that most people miss. You deny it's there if you haven't seen it. She certainly is. She says, I don't see a damn thing. I will say, and you'll realize in this article, that she's looking in the wrong place. She's looking out here. Give me physical phenomena. Give me phenomena I can prove, and I can prove every time. And she's talking about apples and oranges because consciousness is an inner journey. There is a reason. Not that I believe the Bible literally, that Jesus disappeared for 18 years. When he emerged while he had undeveloped characteristics like the 12-year-old preaching in the temple. Great, absolutely, he had those predispositions. When he emerged after a great deal of work on himself internally in some way. That's what we do. Jesus even said, when he performed his miracles, you will do make greater miracles than these. Guys, it's because we have this ability inside of us as healers, as who we are, as divine. But the thing that confuses us is that our divinity is only found by going through our humanness, and that's only found by finding what our issues are and confronting them and dispatching them and waking up. You understand? That's when consciousness starts deepening, and if you go far enough, someone down the road is enlightened. Again, I'm going to say by what she says here is that she's mixing up religion and God and religion and spirituality. Dogma has its limits. God does not. Dogma, religion is man-made, God is not. As much as we try to man-make God, we can't. We try to control God. We try to diminish God for our understanding. You'll either diminish God and understand nothing, or you will diminish God and go, wait a minute, I can't handle this much. I've got to see what this is all about. And that's what I did. I recommend it. I have a belief system that both of these things can coexist. Science and God, there are many books on it right now. Because when you factor in the one truth that we can talk about, God is energy, that brings it all together, doesn't it? She goes on to say, sure, people come up with new supernatural explanations for stuff all the time, but explanations with evidence, she says, replicable evidence, carefully gathered, patiently tested, rigorously viewed evidence, internally consistent evidence, large amounts of it from many different sources, she says, you will get exactly zero in that case. Yeah, you're looking in the wrong place. If you continue to look outwardly for things, you're not going to find this. This is through your humanness to your divinity. There is a formula, awareness, consciousness, enlightenment. You have to be aware. She's not aware of a lot of things in this article. I'm sorry to say that. I agree with her about a lot of things. But they're not thought through for whatever reason. And that's just fine. And perhaps she doesn't want to think through them. Perhaps you don't either. Perhaps a lot of people don't. I say go right ahead. I'm just putting what I believe on the table today. You know, it's really interesting. As I was coming into my office, there's a picture I have not hung of my dear mom. And I was very close to my mother. And this was when she was young, you know, in her 20s. She's in an evening gown. She's beautiful. Well, my mom, and I am certainly sympathetic to those of you that didn't have an experience like this, but my mom was really beautiful, not only outside but inside. And everybody thought that. She was beautiful inside and out. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an inside to all of us. And that's where the answers are. You may doubt yourself. You may think that's not true. You may have no idea, as I had no idea when you start this journey. But it's there for you to find. And that's the quest that we all have available to us. Now, listen. Some of us are called to this quest and some of us are not. No problem. No problem. But if we are, that's why you're listening to a show like this, I suppose. Even though you may argue with it. And that's good. Argument's good. I've never shied away from a good argument. I just think that when you've got two forces like that, what good is it to talk about? Go on the journey and find out what's down there, and then we'll talk. I remember reading a book by Amit Goswami. I love him as a physicist. He's really interesting, and he wrote a book called The Self-Aware Universe. Fabulous book. And his conclusion was, through physics or through anything else, you come to the same ascended place, the same ascended beliefs, once you get beyond the ego child's mind. All truth there, and only there, confirms itself, you see? And that's when I believe the signs. That's when I see the miracle of how it all works together. Working out. The miracle of timing, the miracle of abundance, the miracle of joy, the miracle of talent, the miracle of who you really are. Nobody ever gets there, by the way, and goes, oh, I'm so disappointed with us. Oh, you're not going to do that. And yet every ego child's mind propaganda statement has that at its core. Oh, you better stay where you are and within these limitations because, ooh, you may not like it there. That's ridiculous. Good for you, I admit. She goes on to say, and I love this statement, I really do, I think this is so fun. And the hypothesis of the supernatural is therefore a hypothesis we can discard. It is a hypothesis we came up with when we didn't understand the world as well as we do now. But that, on more careful examination, has never been shown to be correct. God bless her. I find that statement enormously arrogant. It's a possibility arrogance of youth, as we all were there. It is fear, prior training, the need to control her world, the need to have her be smart. Darlings, there's always more to know about everything. I am telling you the truth. I think that when you go on this journey, it's like you're so open because you've seen so much that you just continue to be open. I was talking to someone this week about being open-minded, and I said something that I will say to you. A big part of that is absolute innocence. I'm not talking about naivety. I'm not talking about not being discerning. I think those are all part of God, too. But the innocence of I'm just doing my job right now. That's all I can do. I can just say what's on my mind right now to you and give myself over to whatever higher energies that I have within me to do. There you go. That's what you get. I don't think I know better than you. That's absolutely not true. In fact, I can tell you right now, the more I live, I don't think I know anything. And that's open, isn't it? Let's be open to the next thing. I just know what I believe right now. That's the only thing I know. Okay, kids. Let's keep going. She says, I don't believe in any sort of religion, in any sort of soul or spirit or metaphysical guiding force, anything that isn't the physical world and its vast and astonishing manifestations. Well, I am so glad she finds this all astonishing, but she's looking in the wrong direction to find what she's talking about here. That's all. You know, you can rage and scream that you're in Atlanta when you want to be in New York, but you got to go to New York to experience New York. Right? That means being open-minded, changing your mind. Let's see. Let's go on a journey. Okay. Number two. I spent a lot of time on number one now, didn't I? She says that one of the reasons she doesn't like, what did she say? What was this? Why she doesn't believe God exists is because of the inconsistency of world religions. Guys, do you see with that statement that she's mixing up religion and God? Okay. Don't do that. She goes on to say, if God or any other metaphysical being or beings were real, and people were really perceiving him, her, it, them, why do these perceptions differ so wildly? Well, because they're man-made. That's all. They're all man-made. We're all receiving what we can of the divine, even people that are enlightened. You can't know all of this. This is all energy. This is the energy of the universe and the spheres and the energy of each and every baby's cry and lover's sigh. My God, kids, you can't get all of it. We only have our part of it that we can understand if we understand that. Or we can rail against it. That's just fine. But they're all filtered through who we are as human beings. And that adulterates the whole. I don't think, I know when I have truly been down there in very deep consciousness and have touched on, for whatever reason, God's love, I have to turn away from it. Because it's a human being living here in this body. It's too much. It's too great. There is too much love. It's too much. But that's what we'll receive when our physical death happens. That's why we go running. I don't think we're supposed to go running right now, you see, until our time comes. We're supposed to go, at least I am supposed to go on this quest. I hope it's you too. I hope it's many people to see what there is about this for me, but through the human experience, and to bring something like that to this world. Just what I'm supposed to do. Okay. She goes on to say, and remember, we're working on her note here that everything differs so wildly, all these world religions. She goes on to say, there is no agreement about what God is, what God does, what God wants from us, how he acts or doesn't act in the world, whether he's a he, whether there's more one or more of him, whether he's a personal being or a diffuse metaphysical substance. And this is among smart, thoughtful people, she says. What's more, many smart, thoughtful people don't even think God exists. Boy, she's building a case for what she believes. Guys, if everything is energy, you can't deny that it's energy. Okay? There is a lot of confusion about God. Because your own God, the one you believe in, to whatever degree or non-degree, is in you right now, is a part of a oneness that everything is. So if you want to believe in multiple gods, the god of the car, the god of the tree, the god of the dog, the god of the vase that I'm looking at and seeing outside, certainly all that's valid. But again, there's a personal thing for you to contact that you will learn how to work with this incredible energy that is within you. The thing is, we have a dual nature, don't we? We are the ego child's mind, by the way, still God. And we have a higher self, all God. We're talking energy, right? And both of those things exist in you. And the journey is to go from one to the other and not know what you're going for, because I can tell you, oh, it's glorious, you should do this all I want. If you're not called, you're not going to see it. You're just not going to see anything unless you go on the journey. You're going to believe exactly as she does, and that's fine. I hope it makes her a kinder, more loving person to believe there's nothing in the world. I hope. And that in itself is a belief in something, isn't it? Nobody ever believes in nothing. Because belief in nothing is still a belief in something. There's no emptiness except emotionally when we stay stuck. Okay. She goes on to say, and if God existed, he'd be a whole lot bigger, a whole lot more powerful, and a whole lot more, have more effect in the world than a tree, for example. But there is a tree, and it's substantial. Why is it that we can see a tree in more or less the same way, but we don't see God in even remotely the same way? This is somebody that likes to control her world, I'll tell you that. God bless her. Why not? She's all right doing this. First of all, I beg to differ. We don't see a tree in the same way. We don't see anything in the same way when you go on a journey. And every step along the way, you see things differently. This week, three of my clients came in and said, I want to tell you that things have just changed so-and-so. It's so much nicer. Or this work is so much easier. The work that they do in the world. And I have to point out, those things didn't change. You changed. Your perception changed with the work you're doing. And I'm proud of them for doing it, right? She says, the only explanation for any of this is that God does not exist. We disagree so radically over what he is, he, because we aren't perceiving anything that's real. We're perceiving something we made up, something we were taught to believe, something that the part of our brain that's wired, hang on, I have to turn the page, that's wired to see patterns and intentions, even when none exist, is inclined to see and believe. Okay. Guys, there's bull. There's going on a journey and being more aware. There's deeper levels of enlightenment that leads to. And that and you're in that for a long time. And then there's really the opening of seeing how it all really works. There, all truth confirms itself. You're somewhere in that lineup. Okay? I can't prove to you that all truth confirms itself. I can tell you stories. I'll be glad to tell you stories sometime that happened to me. But they're just stories that mean nothing to you until you experience some sort of your own phenomena and get it. As a matter of fact, what I'm going to say is God's been looking out for everybody, even whether you believe in it or not. But how much do you need? If you will look back at your life, you will see, well, that was proved, that was proved, that was proved. Boy, did I just slide through that. That's great, that's great, that's great. Okay. But you're saying that's not enough to prove anything. And one day you'll wake up, as I had my personal awakening, and you'll go, wow, I get it. I so get it. I get it. And the interesting thing is, a lot of the fundamental teachings, what did I have? I had something on my desk the other day, you know, that somebody gave me a keychain because I have a new house that was the keychain about, you know, whenever we're walking on the beach together and you see one set of footsteps that was carrying you, you know, the old spiritual thing. You find that you have more in common with people than you don't. I mean, that's a very corny, sweet statement, right? Nevertheless, it's true. I proved it to myself it was true, you know? I don't walk on the beach. I didn't see the footprints. But in that awakening, I knew that God had never left me. I was there. God loves us so much as human beings because God is the energy of love. It's energy that we are all programmed inside of us to have the ability to make decisions and see what we want, make what mistakes. A good parent doesn't tell you what to do, doesn't say, don't you do that. A good parent will let you do it and prove something to yourself. And that's why God is often talked about as being a parent, the loving mother, the loving father, the goddess. Oh, forget all those terms, God. It's energy that is love. You have not been left out of this energy. It's all in you. The awakening, the wisdom, the abundance, the beneficence, the talents, all those things that you so see in others and are jealous of, perhaps, they're in you. But you got to open to them, right? Got to open to them. This is not a God that is beneficent to you because you're a good little girl and boy and do what it says. Mm-mm. You have to open and go on this esoteric journey, quite frankly, and have openings as you go. That's where it all is. All ascended truth confirms itself but you have to be in position to receive the ascended truth. Issues get in the way. Issues caused closed minds too, you see, not the other way around. Number three, the weakness of religious arguments. Now, keep in mind, this is, does God exist? She's saying, these are the reasons God does not exist. The weakness of religious arguments, explanations, and apologetics. She goes on to say, excuse me, guys, when it's cold outside, and it is, my nose runs and there's nothing I can do to disguise it. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't, hey, Michelle, I didn't see your, oh, that's so wonderful. I love that. She said, I found the Bible a very exciting book to read, very multifaceted. Boy, that's really marvelous. The more conscious, the more faceted. A book on life itself, all good and bad. That is so wonderful that you said. I have something later on. I might as well jump ahead since you did, kiddo. And say this, I think the Bible, written by men and chosen by men, is a ladder. How's that for bringing things down to earth? It's a ladder, just like a ladder that you have in your utility room or your basement or outside. A ladder. It's a ladder. What I mean by that is that there are all sorts of truths in there according to where you are in your consciousness work. I can give you an example of that. Yes, Michelle says, yes, that's what I'm saying, absolutely. The book of Job, it's a short little book. Oh, do go back and read it, all of you all, even if you don't say, I don't want to read the Bible. Oh, do read this. It's fascinating because the book of Job is about something very essential, and that is spiritual surrender. But whoever put that together and compiled it, maybe a couple of different people who knew back then, did something enormously silly in terms of what I think. Now, I'm not asking you to believe me, but in what I think. In other words, it put bookends to the book of Job, which is this beautiful book about spiritual surrender. The bookends are God and the devil are in a fight. They're in an argument, and they say, we're going to pick out one poor sucker, and we're going to see what he does with this, right? God and the devil. So God and the devil are talking in the beginning, and God and the devil have to make a conclusion at the end. What? Guys, now listen, you can believe whatever you want. I don't happen to believe there's a devil. I do believe, and I believe very heartily, in evil. You betcha I do. Guys, I just hit the wrong thing again. Hang on, I got to go back to that page. I believe very much in evil. I think evil is the absence of good, the absence of light, the absence of love. The more evil men do, the more those things are absent, the more and the less light there is. I don't think we need the devil. I think the devil was a device of the early church to keep control and to keep, you know, I think that's the same reason they said animals don't have souls, you know. Don't you worship that cat or that dog or what we, you know, don't do that. Now, I'm just talking about my beliefs. I'm sorry if it flies in the face of yours, but I think that anybody who is fighting to have the devil in their lives, number one, ought to look at their own personal responsibility and responsibility that others are taking or not taking. And and I think that we too easily shift blame. I think that answers are in our own beings. And certainly when you're talking about going on a journey of consciousness, you're talking about going from the fear-based self, which, by the way, is the whole reason one controls or believes in the devil, all right, to the love-based self. All of God. You have it both in you. You have them both in you. You always will have them both in you. But the waking up is the journey from one energy to the other so that you live more often in these higher and more loving energies and add that to the world in whatever way you need to, through your talents, your gifts, your abilities, what you give the community, what you give your own family, what you give yourself. Thank you, Michelle, for bringing that up. I think the Bible is a ladder, and I think that's why it seems to contradict itself sometimes. You see? Because it's a ladder. If you want to believe in the devil, go right ahead. There is some passages, and you can believe in the devil all you want. But when you wake up and go, wait a minute, I'm the devil. Wait a minute. Hold it. There are other passages, right? I think... And not to make this about the Bible, but I love Corinthians 1:13 about love, right? I didn't understand it for a really long time until I did a lot of work on myself. And then I see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. It means you stand in a dark room. There's a mirror right there. Turn the blooming light on. See what you're doing. Look at you. And there's a lot more in there that I think I've done a radio show, if I'm not mistaken, in the early days on that very thing. And we took it line by line. And I think that's a very good thing for you to go back and listen to because, and I think it was not on Facebook Live. I think it was only on, if I'm not mistaken, maybe I should just pull that out and do that again. Let me know if you want me to do that. Anyway, you'll see what I mean by the latter. Okay. If I do it. The weakness of religious arguments, explanations, and apologetics. I talked to a group one time who were a lovely group. There was a man there, tight, rigid. And he asked what I was going to talk about, and I told him. And he said, I already do that. I do it. I am this all the time. He was serious, you know. And, guys, I knew that wasn't true. Why? Because people who are in the energies that we're talking about that are available to you inside one day, as you grow, as you change, and maybe you are there now, they're quiet. They don't need to talk about all this. That's why I'm conflicted when I do a show like this because I don't particularly want to talk about this, but I thought this article was too good to pass up. Why not? But that's why you don't hear me saying, oh, you know, it's so wonderful. Listen, you know, here's how this, and talking about my experience and who I am and what I believe and preaching about all this because that's not this journey. This journey is, it's enough for you to know it yourself. It's enough for you to know it yourself. She goes on to say, the argument from is all from authority arguments about the existence of God. Example, God exists because the Bible says God exists. The argument from personal experience. God exists because I feel in my heart that God exists. The argument that religion shouldn't have to logically defend its claim. God is an entity that cannot be proven by reason or evidence. Or the redefining of God into the abstract principle, so abstract it cannot be argued against, but also so abstract that it can scarcely deserve the name God. God is love, she says. All of these things I agree with. But that is not what I'm talking about here. Again, think these strata of energy. okay? And the more you challenge who you are inside, the more you get yourself out of the way, the more you're going to see, and the more you will absolutely see. See, she's also mixing up, guys, and we can talk about this in a little more detail in a few minutes, the brain and the mind, too. And she doesn't see that we're of two minds, the ego child's mind and the higher self mind. We try to speak very succinctly here. I don't know whether we do. A dear friend of mine at a place I used to go to when I lived in Atlanta that was a facial place, it was a darling woman, and if you're listening, hello, dear, that was at the front desk, who said, I listen to your show every single week, but I don't understand what you're talking about. And all I could say is, well, keep listening. Maybe you will, you know. I hope that's true. Guys, yeah, we do all see things for the wrong reasons until we see things that are true. Just the way it is, you know? That's one of the reasons I don't necessarily read any of these books that are mentioned to me from time to time about somebody that has had a near-death experience. Because you see, when you cross over, what you expect to see. Okay. Write all the books you want. That doesn't change my experience and what I'm going to do. You can't make arguments for this. Here's the truth. I can't convince you of this. The call might convince you if you're having it, and then you have to go on the journey. But I can't convince you of anything. I can offer some ideas to think about, because you've got to prove it to yourself. I had to. And you cannot force yourself to open consciousness. It happens when you've done enough work. I want to say it's inevitable. So if you don't see it yet, you haven't done enough. Keep going. Oh, I've done so much already. Ego child's mind. I hear that all the time. Then keep going. You know how to do it now. Come on. Keep going. Your journey inevitably results in an awakening. Can't be any other way. You can stop it. You can say you're already there. You can say it's all bullshit. Yeah, you can say all that. Go ahead. Fact is, if you don't see yet, just keep going. She goes on to say, sacred books and authorities can be mistaken. I've yet to see a sacred book that doesn't have any mistakes in it. And in the Bible, to give you just one example, is shot full of them. That's what she says. Okay. Again, I say that the Bible and a lot of religious books are latter. They hit what various people believe. And as Michelle pointed out, as your eyes open, not your physical eyes, you're able to see what you're supposed to glean from it. The 1 Corinthians 13 that I mentioned, everybody on one level thinks that's about loving. And it's not. Does that shock you? Mm-mm. It's about waking up. And when you do, you love more. That's what it's about. So we are, and that's just what I say it's about right now. See me in another 5 or 10 years. If I'm still alive, I may have a different opinion, even more, see more in it. Okay. And do look at that book of Job. I think it's hilarious. I mean, it's like a comic book on each end of a very important message. Come on, you know. And I don't mean to be offensive with that. If you want to believe in the devil, by all means do. I just don't know why anybody would make a case for fear. And that's the embodiment of fear. I believe in that. I believe we're all fearful. I believe, you know, whatever you call the devil is inside every one of us, called ego, and the ego child's mine, and it's time to get beyond that. But here's something that I felt was dear. She goes on to say, I mean, if I told you the tree in front of my house is 500 feet tall with hot pink leaves, and I offered as a defense, I know this is true because my mother, preacher, sacred book tells me so, or I know this is true because I feel it in my heart, would you take me seriously? I thought it was interesting that she asked, would you take me seriously? Because the ego's just revealed itself in that, hasn't it? I know she's just trying to make a point, I see. But that's an interesting way she's put it. This is why, because I believe the Bible is a ladder, that it should not be taken literally. I mean, it came through men. This lecture that I'm giving you today is coming through human beings. I'm doing the best I can with it. Everything is filtered through the human being right now. It's the way it is in this world. Okay. Here's another example of her getting religion and God confused. She says, this is about the redefining God out of existence argument. If what you believe in isn't a supernatural being or substance that has, or at one time had some sort of effect on the world, well, your philosophy might be an interesting one, but it is not, by any useful definition of the world, religion, okay? You know, I'm saying that God, the God that you are going to is applicable and pertinent to any situation. You're getting ill, you're getting old, you're having a divorce, the death of someone. It should be there. Number four, she's talking about the increasing diminishment of God, which I think is very interesting. She says, when you look at the history of religion, again, she's mixing up religion and God, you see that the perceived power of God has been diminishing. As our understanding, she goes on to say, of the physical world has increased, and as our ability to test theories and claims has improved, the domain of God's miracles and interventions or other supposed supernatural phenomena has consistently shrunk. We're mixing up spirituality and religion still yet again. She says, we stopped needing God to explain floods, but we still need him to explain sickness and health. When we don't need him to explain sickness and health, we still need him to explain consciousness. Now we're beginning to get a grip on consciousness, so we'll soon need God to explain what? So she thinks he's useless. It's useless. Darlings, first of all, in my opinion, you're never going to explain consciousness. You can't. We're not supposed to because we're human. We can't fathom it. We do the best we can. And that sounds like, you know, what she's complaining about here, but still yet. Again, think in stratas. You know, I started out like you did in fantasy. Oh, yeah, it would all sound so wonderful. Okay, then you deal with the reality of who you are and what you believe and why you believe it and all your issues and all that, and somehow, somewhere along the way, things start opening and you see something else, and that is very real. Just the way it is. So you can stay in that bottom stratosphere and say, there's nothing. And I'll give that to you because there is nothing there, kids. There just isn't. Get to work. Okay? And human beings, idea of God, worldwide, sweeties, is small. We all discount, or many of us discount, the God that we grew up with. That's not what we're talking about here. Okay? That's not what we're talking about here. She quotes a writer and blogger named Adam Lee, and he says, quote again, where the Bible tells us God once shaped worlds out of the void and parted great seas with the power of his word, today the most impressive acts seem to be shaping sticky buns into the likenesses of saints and conferring vaguely defined warm feelings on his believers' hearts when they attend church. I think it's terribly funny, but it does show you our warped idea of God. Right? Where does it say it's energy? Where does it say any of this? People diminish God because they react against the God of their childhood. There's a spiritual immaturity that they latch on to and stay with, okay? They're either reacting against this version of God, or it's providing the thrust for them to go find out what they truly believe. I pulled out one of my favorite books. Now, this book, when it came out in 2004, was enormously controversial, okay? Enormously controversial because religion completely missed what it was about, okay? And what it's about, you ready for the word, is consciousness. This is called The End of Faith. It's by Sam Harris. Man, this young lady who wrote this, young or not, needs to read this book because it's a really, really eye-opening book. I thought Sam Harris was one of the most brilliant people I ever met. I don't know him, but, you know, book form. But he wrote a book, and he pulls down every religion in the world. And just when you think he is the most angry man you've ever met, he says, the thing that is here that we should all be looking at is consciousness. He gets it. I just want to read you one paragraph of his. Mysticism is a rational enterprise. Religion is not. The mystic has recognized something about the nature of consciousness prior to thought, and this recognition is susceptible to rational discussion. The roiling mystery of the world can be analyzed with concepts. This is science. Yep. Or it can be experienced free of concepts. This is mysticism. Religion is nothing more than bad concepts held in place of good ones for all time. Very interesting, huh? It is the denial, at once full of hope and full of fear, of the vastitude of human ignorance. Now, he's pretty hard on religion, and I'm not, and I'm going to tell you that right now, because, sweeties, if it makes your life better, you go right ahead. But this is also on the other side of this. And what's interesting is, you know, I can reconcile the two. I can go to anything. I enjoy hearing what other people think and feel. I love a good discussion. I'm not trying to change anybody's mind. It's just a different side of the coin. And sometimes I don't need to say things out loud. Sometimes in my mind I'm just going, well, I don't believe that, but I certainly support this other person's right to believe it. I do. We just shouldn't stop. So we can grow and our minds can change, right? We never question things. We just, like this woman, close the door. God doesn't exist. Religion has made her mad, or it's just not rational or anything else. And okay, fine. But it's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Which one's the baby? Which one's the one you should keep and explore and know more about? Right? Number five. Ooh, I'm not sure I'm going to finish this today. I might have to finish it next week. I hope that'll be all right with you all. Let's get through five, though. She says she doesn't think God exists because of the fact that religion runs in families. Okay. She says people believe whatever religion they were taught as children. I think she's diminishing people and what they're capable of. I was taught as a child, I sang in the Baptist choir, I dated a Catholic boy, so I went to that church too, I went to all these churches. I was reared Presbyterian and I went to an Episcopal school. Okay. Michelle said, oh, yes, and, oh, Scarlett, hello, baby. Yes, Dolly, do listen to replay. Scarlett got in the middle of this and she's going, what the heck is this about? Oh, I love that. Thank you, sweetheart. Yeah, go back and listen. I think it's an interesting show myself. But, of course, I don't know. You know, what can I say? I think it's all interesting to talk about. Michelle says, in the Bible, it points out the hypocrisy of priests. And yes, that's snuck in there somewhere. Absolutely. Guys, we're all hypocrites. I happen to think we all are. I mean, look at the ego child's mind for everybody. We're all hypocrites. We're all selfish. We're all unloving. We're all hateful. We're all everything. That's part of us. How many people do you know that don't like to admit that about themselves? You know? I remember, I think I've told you all this, that when my husband and I first got together, and you know, you eventually, you always have the squabbles because you're getting to know each other on that personal level, right? And at some point I said, you're an asshole. And he said, yeah, and you're an asshole. And I went, yeah, I am. You're absolutely right. Guys, we are everything. And for anybody who's looking and even halfway sensitive, they see what you are. Why not just get on with it, right? Grow, change. Find out all about your highest self. Find out who God is to you. We should question. We should question. We there are things in every religion that don't make a hell of a lot of sense. Question those. Find out who you are beyond all of that. You are a spiritual being in physical form. Prove it to yourself by going on this journey. You see? See? We're everything, my darling. But you are also divine. And that's not that you should say, oh, I should do this because I want to be divine too. I think I'll go do that. You know, I'll be well thought of. People will think I'm somebody finally. I'll be divine. No. It won't work if you just don't go in with the innocence of a child, the discernment of spirit. You've got to learn how to be emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually mature. And this is what it's all about. The fact that religion runs in families. Guys, I want to address this for a minute, and then we'll stop with this point. I want to tell you a cute story about my mom. I had a great mom. Really, I did. She was remarkable. And at this time of year, and I don't know when other people are going to be listening to this thing, but right now we're right before Christmas, right? And my mom always had to have a little green Christmas tree. But my mom had this wonderful, creative, wild side, too, inside of her, right? She never let it out because every year, right after Christmas, she said, Martha, I'm not going to have a green tree next year. I'm going to have a pink tree. I'm going to have a white tree. I'm going to have a silver tree. I'm going to have a purple tree. I'd say, that's great. Let's break with tradition, right? But every Christmas, right before Christmas, my mother would go out and buy a green tree because she just couldn't break with tradition. Now, I buy a green tree usually because I like the smell of the real tree. And up here where I live, it's a Christmas tree industry. It's Christmas all the time up here. Isn't that nice? You see them growing everywhere. However, I always have a little pink feather tree, and I have a silver tree, and I have a white tree. And I put them, you know, various sizes all around the house because I don't want to be pigeonholed. I don't want to be traditional. Guys, there are no enlightened traditionalists. If you're trying to hold on to tradition and what your family believed without ever thinking something else and investigating that there might be more, you're doing yourself a bit of a disservice. Having different color trees reminds me of that and how I don't want to be afraid like my mom. She was a wonderful human being, and I love her, and I supported whatever she needed, and she did that for me. But I'm going to live my life and know there's more. So Christmas trees to me are very spiritual, you know. The decorating of the spiritual tree, Christmas tree, very spiritual. I decorate it with what I am grateful for in the last several years. So she goes on to say, which leads me to the conclusion that she says, that religion is not a perception of a real entity. Well, okay. She's probably right about that. No. Again, the word religion, she's got all mixed up. She's using it to be the same as God. She's using it to be the same as spirituality. She says, the fact that religion runs so firmly in family strongly suggests that it is not a perception of a real phenomenon. It is a dogma supported and perpetuated by tradition and social pressure, and in many cases by fear and intimidation, not by reality. I have to agree with what she's saying to a certain extent, but keep in mind, it might be doing somebody good. And in that case, whatever it is you believe, as long as it does you good and it doesn't hurt anybody else, I say go ahead. You cannot be arrogant enough to say it won't do somebody some good somewhere. You see? Guys, we're going to stop there. I'll come back with the rest of this. We have four other things to get through that she talks about. I hope you're having fun with this. I'm having fun with this too. I just feel kind of awkward about talking about this because it's just refuting somebody else's ideas, which I support her ideas that she believes this way. I say, go ahead, you know, but it's a good place to talk from. Guys, I'm going to pray afterwards that we use this in whatever way your ascended self wants to use it. Thank you so much for listening to me today and continuing to listen and support the show. It means the world to me. It really does. If you will get the word around about us, if you will send these shows around so that people can hear them, thank you, Michelle, very much. I'd appreciate it very much because we really are trying to expand the conscious community. You know, this is not something you can put a billboard for and say, all conscious community, call this number or see this show or whatever. You all are the front lines of this. You're so kind to get out there and say, you to a show, you know, and people will like it or not. I hope they'll like it. I know I love you, and I care about you, and I want you to have a good life. So I'll see you next week, 10 o'clock on Sunday, for the finish of this. God bless you all, and thank you so much. And thank you, Judy. Thank you for listening. All of you all had marvelous comments today. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. See you next week.